The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. On this Mother's Day, we're bringing you the second part of a message entitled, A Biblical View of a Good Mother. In the first part last week, we talked about the fact that she is dedicated to the Lord, so God's glory is her goal, God's book is her guide, and God's grace is her strength. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and so if you can help us with the support, it will certainly be greatly appreciated. Secondly, a godly woman is not only committed first and foremost to the Lord, she's committed to her husband. Because she fears God, she will honor God's plan. Although we're living in a day that God's plan is ridiculed and we're told that it's out of date, if you respect God, you respect His Word, and you know that His Word is as much in force today as it has ever been. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. This was God's plan. God created man, created him, created male and female, and gave them the responsibility of subduing the earth and to be fruitful and multiply. And that multiplication was to take place not just by random interaction outside marriage, but by a husband and wife, a man and a woman, which is the family according to God's standard. All of the present day ideas to the contrary, no matter what argument somebody might set forth, we're still to abide under the laws of God and how He has ordered it. Then in chapter 2, verse 18, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Not good that man should be alone. So God created woman. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He gave Eve to Adam to be his helper. Now, there are women today who would resent that very thought. What do you mean, his helper? I resent that role. Well, that's how God structured things in the beginning. That's God's plan for the family. She helps her husband. She doesn't battle him. She's not on an opposing team. They are one. One flesh. And I will look at some scriptures that speak about the fact that she's to be submissive. That doesn't mean that she's a little wallflower, intimidated, and never expresses her thought. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26 says, She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Some husbands have difficulty learning that their wife
has a lot of wisdom that she's capable of imparting. And if he tries to intimidate her, or when she expresses her opinion, never listens to her, never follows it, if they stay married very long, he's going to finally learn she's got a lot more on the ball than he ever imagined. Because God has blessed women with some special insight and intuition or whatever else you want to call it, and their particular knowledge of the Word of God and the knowledge of their children and their home and the whole thing, she opens her mouth with wisdom. She helps in so many ways. And she does, in fact, submit. She helps her husband. She submits to her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." This isn't just a social issue. This isn't just something that kind of comes and goes with the time and depends on what the style of the day may be. This is what God's Word declares. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Wives will sometimes say, "Well, I would if he was a better husband. I would if he made better choices. I would if. No, this says this is what's right before the Lord. Now, obviously, there are exceptions. If a husband would require his wife to do something illegal, then she must obey God rather than man. If he refuses to let her worship God and serve him and honor him and do what the Lord requires, she must obey God rather than man. But apart from that, she is to be submissive. And if she's not only is she dishonoring God, she's failing not just as a wife, but as a mother. Because she may be insisting that her children are submissive to her, but the children zero in on the fact she's not submissive to our daddy. And they get that message loud and clear. And mothers sometimes wonder, why have I got this little rebel on my hands here that just doesn't ever seem to get the point? It's because the example the mother is setting on a daily basis causes that little fella to think, I've got the right to decide which ones of the rules I'm going to obey and which ones I'm not. She helps her husband. She submits to her husband. She loves her husband. Titus chapter 2, where it says that the older women are to be teachers of good things. Verse 4, here's one of the things they're to teach, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. It's tragic when older women reject that teaching of God's Word. I've known of older women when a young woman would come to her and say, "Well, I'm upset about my marriage. My husband does this, that, or the other, or he doesn't do what he should be doing." And their advice would be, "I wouldn't take that. Leave him." Is that biblical advice? Absolutely not. Maybe that husband needs to be confronted. Maybe that husband needs to be dealt with. Maybe some friend, some member of the church needs to go to that man and confront him. But to say, "Leave your husband," that's not the message. Older women, you teach the younger women to love their husbands. She is to honor her husband. Proverbs 31, verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." She honors him. She doesn't constantly remind him of his faults. Some women, frankly, become a nag. They're constantly telling the man his failures. And that obviously doesn't make for a very harmonious marriage. There is a time to lovingly confront one's husband, if indeed he's on the wrong path, particularly if he is in violation of God's Word. But to be constantly nagging at him means that he's not being respected and honored. And certainly, a godly mother will not put her husband down in front of her children. Sometimes mothers make a little pact with their children. And we're this little group here that's against daddy. because daddy's overbearing and daddy's rigid and daddy's tight-fisted. So we got our little plan going. Now you do this and I'll do that and we'll manipulate daddy. No, a godly wife, godly mother doesn't manipulate and doesn't put down her husband before the children. By her example, she displays what a Christian woman, wife, and mother should be. Not just by what she says, but by her example. Now, the third thing, she's committed to the Lord above everything else. She's committed to her husband, and she's committed to her home. Now, we've already talked about a number of things as far as her interaction with her children, but she is committed to her children. Now, understand, that doesn't mean that you put the children up on a pedestal. It doesn't mean that it is a child-centered home. Some little children just rule the roost. And once you give them the reins when they're very young, then you wonder why you have so many problems when they become teenagers. Because they've never learned submission in their earlier age. A godly mother loves her children. In that instruction of Titus chapter 2, verse 4, not only are the older women to be teaching the younger women to love their husbands, but also to love their children. I've had occasion a few times to talk to mothers who are really having a tough time of it. They had a rebellious child that was just driving them up the wall. And they said, just to tell you the truth, right at this moment, I don't even like that child. Well, you may get to the place that you don't like their actions, you don't like some of the things they're doing, or don't like what they're not doing. But God holds you accountable to love them. You may have to pray, Lord, help me to love them. I never dreamed when I held that little newborn in my arms and they were so precious that I would reach the time that this child has disturbed me so much that I'm having difficulty loving him. But Lord, I know I can by your grace. Help me to love this child. You're going to be kind to your children. Now that doesn't remove discipline. They are to be spanked. They are to be disciplined. They are to be trained. But you can be kind to them. Proverbs 31 verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now obviously any mother on a bad day can be guilty of yelling at her children. But some mothers make that such a habit that that's basically what they do all day long. And that's a violation of God's word. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There's a gentleness about a mother that though the father loves his children, he doesn't have the ability to display some of the tenderness that God has blessed mothers to possess. See a little child that's fallen down and gotten hurt, and nobody can comfort like mother. How sad when I've talked to people who said, my mother was not a loving person. I can't ever remember her giving me a hug. I can't ever remember her saying, I love you. Mothers are to be loving and kind. And such pleasant memories can be recalled as the years pass on. And you think about those special times that mother came to your bedside when you were sick. Or those times that mother told you a story. And it was just something exciting about the way she told it. or when she read you some scripture and encouraged you to embrace it and believe it, make it a part of your life. It's a great blessing when mothers open their mouth with kindness. She's committed to her home. She's committed to the work that needs to be done. She's industrious. Look at some of the description back in Proverbs 31 once more. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Here it reveals that the mother may have some activities outside the home. Here's a woman who is capable of making some kind of a real estate transaction, buying a field. But the point is that while there was activity outside the home, her whole focus and her whole concern and her basic interest was in her home. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Many times when all the rest of the family is in bed asleep, she's still working for their benefit. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Yes, a very industrious woman. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. How sad if a mother gets distracted with the things that are so prevalent in our society today, spending her time looking at the soap operas, sitting in front of a television set, and let things in the house fall apart. Certainly a house ought to be kept clean. No matter how poor a person may be, things can be kept clean and neat and make it a place where children desire to be, not thinking about how quickly they can escape and go somewhere else. I believe that she's committed to her work and she is content in her role. Instead of feeling, I'm a second-class citizen, I wish I'd never been tied down with these children. No, she recognizes the sovereignty of God. It's according to God's good pleasure that I am blessed with this family, with these children. I'm content. Scriptures say, Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And a godly mother learns to be content in her role because she submits to God as her sovereign Lord and respects his word. And not only that, but she finds joy in her work. If the mother's constantly complaining to her children or to friends or to anybody else, she's not glorifying God. Yes, the work is hard. Yes, there's sometimes discouragements. Yes, there's often days when she is not appreciated like she should be. But if she understands, I'm serving the Lord. What I want to do is honor him. His glory is my goal. Then I'm going to delight to do the work before me. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O God. When he came in submission to his heavenly Father, he didn't submit begrudgingly. He said, I delight to do it. Delighting to do it. Let's think about some of the lessons that ought to be drawn today. I understand that there are many different situations that every family today is not fully structured like the pattern we find here in God's Word. There are single mothers with the responsibility of caring for children. I know your burden is even heavier because you don't have the help and support of a husband. There are mothers who have unbelieving husbands, and that makes your challenge even greater. But whatever your situation or circumstances may be, God's grace is sufficient, and the teaching of His Word will give you the instruction that you so desperately need. Mothers, if you feel you were a failure, maybe your children are now all adults, and you look back and say, I don't know how many times I've had people say this very thing to me when I've traveled around the country and preached on the Christian home, and somebody would say, I wish I'd heard that 25 years ago. You may look back and say, I feel like I was a failure as a mother. But you can't roll back the clock. You can't do it over. But you can today interact with your adult children and your grandchildren, if you have them, in a godly way. If you didn't talk to them about the Lord when they were growing up, talk to them about the Lord now. If they don't want to talk, then set a good example that they can see Christ in you on a daily basis. If you have children still at home, and you see from the things we've talked about, from what God's Word says, you need to make some changes. By the grace of God, you can make them. You can turn to Him and ask for His strength and support to be able to do it. If you're a husband who has a wife that is a good and godly mother, thank God for her. Pray for her. Do you pray for your wife on a daily basis? She has a challenging role. Pray for her physical well-being. Pray that she'll have the courage to move forward. Pray that she'll grow in grace. And then express your appreciation to her. And children, your mother should be honored. Part of the commandments say, and Ephesians chapter 6 brings it over into the New Testament to say, honor thy father and thy mother. Do you honor her? You're not honoring your mother if you speak disrespectfully to her. You're not honoring your mother if you disobey her. You are to honor her and express your appreciation for her. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, children don't always appreciate their mother. They have their own independent spirit. They don't understand the value of the restrictions the mother gives. Paul Harvey read this on the radio a number of years ago. A woman had written to Ann Landers, entitling her letter, Meanest Mother in the World. I had the meanest mother in the world. While other kids had candy for breakfast, I had to eat cereal, eggs, and toast. While other kids had cola and candy for lunch, I had a sandwich. As you can guess, my dinner was different from the other kids' dinner also. My mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were on a chain gang or something. She had to know our friend, who our friends were, and what we were doing. I'm ashamed to admit it, but she actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. We had to wash dishes, make the beds, and learn how to cook. That woman must have stayed awake nights thinking up things for us kids to do. And she always insisted that we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. She really raised a bunch of squares. None of us ever got arrested for shoplifting or busted for dope. And who do we have to thank for this? You're right, our mean mother. I'm trying to raise my children to stand a little straighter and taller, and I'm secretly tickled to pieces when my children call me mean. I thank God for giving me the meanest mother in the world. Our country needs more mean mothers like mine. Blessings on that wonderful woman. Indeed, a mother that is a godly mother can be looked on by those who don't understand as being mean or cruel and certainly out of step with the times. But you know, the home is under great attack in our society today. And yet, without it functioning in a biblical, godly way, the nation is doomed to destruction. May we all humble ourselves before the living God. On this Mother's Day, may we give thanks for the influence of godly mothers in our life. May mothers recommit themselves to being the kind of mother that will bring glory to God. And remember that Timothy learned from his mother and his grandmother the truth concerning salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Have you learned that message? Mothers, think of it. What a privilege you have to present the gospel to your children. Above anything else that you might teach them, it's wonderful to teach them how to cook and how to sew and how to do all these other things. But to think you get to be the one who spends the most time with them and to tell them about Jesus Christ. To present the message that they are sinners. And as much as you love them, you have to face the fact they are a sinner in need of salvation. And there's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. What a blessing is a godly mother. A mother who loves the Lord above all, honors her husband, loves her children, seeks to guide them in the way of truth and righteousness, having that privilege of sharing with them the gospel. And of all of the joys of motherhood, there could be nothing to supersede that delight which comes when she finds them responding to the gospel and expressing their love for Jesus Christ and their faith in Him. May we pray today that God will bless mothers across this land when they face so many challenges and often have to deal with discouragements, that the Lord will hold them up, give them strength and grace. Oh, how great is the need of God-fearing families that will live to the praise of Jesus Christ. Till next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, our glorious King, all His ransomed home to say.